Tishlach, you have the famous meeting between Yaakov and the Malach of Esav. In the past, we've given one Mahalach, because they're a little bit twist to the Mahalach this year. The fight, the struggle, the wrestling match between Yaakov and Esav. It is detailed in the Chumash. But what preceded it was that Yaakov was alone in the night. Vayivoser Yaakov levadoi. Yaakov was left alone. Yaakov was alone with himself. Vayeovek ish imoy ad alois hashachar. And the man fought with him till the morning. Why was Yaakov alone? We would like to try to understand this concept, the aloneness. Why was he alone? Because it could be, has an effect to understand, we can understand better why the struggle came about by Yaakov's being by Yivosa Yaakov's Avad. Yaakov was alone. And Rashi tells us the interesting fact, why was Yaakov alone? Yaakov went back for the pachim ktani, for the small vessels. They had forgot the other side of the river. The Svarim HaKdoshim tell us another fact about these pachim ktanim. Say the Mefarshim, say the Svarim, that these Pachim Ktanim, these small vessels, or the small vessel that Yaakov went back, eventually turned into the Pach of the Nes of Chanukah. Now that flask of oil that was found at Beis HaMikdash many years later was that same flask of the Pach Ktanim that Yaakov went back for. And we have to understand the connection between Yaakov's going back for these Pachim Ktanim and the miracle of Chanukah, which is coming not far off from Beisai. It's in the near distance, close by, not a couple of weeks, the Yontif of Chanukah. Fight between Sarah Shel Esav and Yaakov Avinu. We know that he did not have an ability to get him. Vayaki lo yocholoi, vayiga bekaf yireichoi, says Chazal, he got him in the loins, he got him in the leg. Vateke kaf Yaakov ve'ofko imo, Yaakov limped after being punched in the leg. Even injured in the leg. What is the significance of that? Chazal tell us this is, it refers to the tamchin, to arrive the support of Torah. What does exactly that mean? understand also, Yaakov talks to the Malach, and he tells him, let me go, because the time has come, it's the morning hours. The Malach tells Yaakov, he says, give me a bracha, and he asks him his name, what's your name? And he says to him, I don't have a name. Yaakov tells him his name, he changes his name, and he asks the Malach, what's your name? And the Malach says, Loma zeh tishal shmi. What are you asking my name for? May Baruch Hu Yisrael, he blesses me. What's the yesoid of the names? What's the answer of the Malach? What is the Malach answering? Loma zeh tishal shmi. What are you asking my name? What kind of answer is that? I asked your name because I want to know your name. Obviously, I was asking you, because I wonder what Lomba said, why are you asking my name for? Vayivorech, right? He asked, what's your name? And the Malach says, what are you asking my name for? Right? What kind of answer is that? He asked his name because he wants to know his name. Why are you asking my name? Because I want to know your name. What kind of question is that? What kind of answer is that? And it seems that it ends with that. Conversation ends. What's going on over here? Yaakov should have persisted. What's your name, Larry? We've gone down this path before, some of these questions, and we want to offer another nature. We said another twist, something that I feel has to be discussed and talked about. So it's so essential to our growth, to everybody's growth over here. Some of the yesoid of the nace of Hanukkah and the existence and the legacy of Klal Yisrael, the continued existence. You have to understand, and the essential difference between Yaakov and Esav, Rabbi Yisrael. This is something that not only pertains to this parsha, but all the parshiyos of Yaakov and Esav. Who was Esav? And who was Yaakov? The parsha Vayishlach, Rabbi Yisrael. At the end of the parasha, the Torah goes at length to discuss Esav's family. Ve'ela toldos Esav hu edoy. This is the genealogy of Esav hu edoy. Esav lokach es noshim v'nois Knan, he took girls from Knan, and the Torah goes to enumerate. There's only one problem in Esav's family. The hardest day of the year was Father's Day, like they say in Harlem. The hardest day of Father's Day, some men get 6 cards from different people. Rashi says, what was going on there is unbelievable, Rabbi Sai. He lived with this one, his son lived with his wife, with his mother, with his aunt, with his this. They were all with each other, Rabbi Sai. The redneck family! Out there in the sticks of Wisconsin! Me, Sarah, my mother, and my wife. And Julie, my sister, and my brother's wife, and my wife, and his wife. This is the family picture. But who's dead? All of the above. They have a special game. Where's not where's Waldo, where's Dad? Try to find the dad. That was going on over. He said, no one, this one was that one, was that one. Asa's son was living with his mother, with his wife and his grandmother and his brother. Craziness, over. I said, wildness. What touched up Asa's family, over inside the family tree? If you can make a family tree, it's very hard. It goes backwards and forwards. The reverse tree they make. A lot of question marks on the tree. Not sure. Dad. Mom. They're multiple choice. A, B, C, D. And that little apple. A, B, could be any of the above. E is none of the above. We haven't found the dad. He's hidden. That was the family of Esau, boy side. Mamzerim. Bene Mamzerim. How does it happen, Rabbi Yisrael? And what is the incident when we bring this in? It's the parasha of a Yishlach, the whole Yisoy, Rabbi Yisrael. Believe we've just misyaches beforehand. Reuven, even though he did a certain maisa, says Vayishka, at the end of the day, it was Torah. Gemara says, "Okay, Omer Reuven chotein on Torah." Yaakov, you know, was pure. Yaakov, you know, every single kid was known who his mother. He had four wives also. Every had a mother and a father. Every had a yichus. It was a yichus. In Asa's family, there was no yichus. So what is the essential difference between them? I believe that's the story at the end of the parasha. The point that we're making follows through to the theme of this parasha. But where does Hefkeris come from? Where does it come from? What's the stem? What's the source? What's the roots? What does it all mean? Do you saw it? Of all this, of course, and that's what the Torah wanted to end off. You see what happens when this Hefkeris. When this Hefkeris. Esav was the Metzias of Hefkeris. Not conforming, no real responsibility. What did he do with his life? He just went out to the fields and chilled. He was a chiller! The first chiller! Who wants to know who the first chiller was? He was Esav! Oh boy, did he chill! But as I spoke to the oil this week, I came to a bit, that's why I'm giving the shmuz also, I came to the Hakara Boisai, that word, C-H-I-L-L, Boisai, is a dirty word that should not be used. So also to say that word, I'm chilling! Chill, siri! Chili chili bang bang! Whatever it's called! I'm chilling, Rebbe. I wanna chill. Let's chill. Chill. It's a dirty word, of course. That shouldn't be said. Everybody's looking at those eyes. No, Rebbe. No, don't say that. That's my life! I need to chill! I need to chill! I wanna chill! All different ways of using the verse. We have to chill. We're gonna chill. What's so dirty about chill? What's wrong with the word chill? Rabbi, calm down. Chill, Rabbi! What's wrong with the word chill? It's a great word! I was yearning for Oymek Yisoy Chil Chil on my side. That's why I don't want to have to use the word to speak out what it is, but from now on, of course, we have to be careful and say, shh. Don't say it all the way. It's a dirty word. Unless your last name is Shmuel Chill, then we have to say his name. but it's a dirty work. And I'll explain to you why. The yisod of children, but I'm thinking deeply of myself. You'll think about it deeply. It means one thing. 100% of us, we have to relax. We exert ourselves. Most of the time, we're supposed to exert ourselves. So to work hard, a very good word, hard. Excellent word. Most powerful and positive word there is, hard. We're supposed to work hard and exert ourselves. And then we need time for relaxation, to let up. The Olam went to the forests to relax, but not to chill. For the word chill, Rabbi said, it's oime kavana. This is only the sweet impression. It's oime kavana means I don't want any responsibility. Thus is the oimek of the word chill. It's not relaxation. It's not I want to let up. I don't want any responsibilities. I want to chill and not have any responsibilities on my life. And this is the anti, it's a word that's anti-Torah. It's anti the Metzias of what Torah, Dikalev, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from a Jew. A goy can chill! A yid, 365 days a year, 24 hours in the day, 7 days a week, he has a responsibility. There's no day that he could say, oh, it's lazy day today. No Kriya Shema. You come at 11:30 for Kriya Shema. No, you missed Kriya Shema, you missed out. The Gemara says, Mu'uvish lo yuchol liskoy. You can never fix it up. Never. Come on, Rabbi. Come on, Hashem. And a day off. Everybody gets vacation days. 10 days a year. My boss, Big Bob, he gives me 10 days off a year. Judaism has no days off. Is there any day off in Judaism? What's that? Yeah, there's one day off. The Levaya. They came in Shemais, Nasechovshi. Forever! But now, in this world, you have a responsibility to produce, to do something. That doesn't mean I can't relax. It's a great picture of the Gedolim in the forest. Or a Baruch Bear. Everybody sees those pictures of Baruch Bear. Everybody has a, no one has a Baruch Bear learning. Everybody has the pictures in the forest. But anyway, but they have Baruch Bear, but they have Shimon, they're in the forest, and they're on Dacha. They're relaxing. They're vacationing. But they're not chilling. There's no chilling. The Baruch Bear wasn't chilling. Because chilling means, Rabbi, I don't want responsibilities right now. I don't want anything. I want to escape to a place where there's no responsibilities. That's what chilling means. That's treif. Treif. Trade for eternal. We're responsible all the time for our actions. We can relax, have a good time, enjoy ourselves, but never slack in our responsibility for life. And this was the essential difference of myself between Yaakov and Esav. Esav was the essential chiller! Killer and chiller. He was a chiller and a killer at the same time. But he was a chiller. And he liked to chill. In the forest. There's grass over there. Grass that you could see. Grass that you could smoke. All different types of grasses he liked. And he was chilling. What a Budweiser! Then we saw the commercial with Aesop with a Budweiser. Oh, it was a lot of commercial. The cap opened, Aesop was sitting there with his long hair and a bud. Weekends were made for Michelob.
obviously there was somebody else in the picture we can't describe right now. Because obviously if you drink a beer, automatically that comes, you know, it gets you. Anyway, enough for the commercial for Nicola. But chilling. You know, Ace, so just to go in the forest with like 16 beers, and that's it. 16 beers, and he just chilled, is what I said. He came back the next day, 2 days later, 3 days later. I was chilling. So he came back. Father said, how's it going? I haven't seen you in a couple of days. You know, he sometimes asks God, I'm just chilling for a couple of days. You left your tefillin here. I mean, you chill, you don't have tefillin. It doesn't go with the tefillin, the chill. You don't chill with tefillin. You know what I mean? Doesn't go, of course it doesn't go. This tefillin's a responsibility every day. This is the it's the opposite of responsibility. And this is the yesoid of Yaakov Avinu, Rabbi Sam. Yaakov, from an early age, realized that I'm in this world, I have to produce, I have to accomplish who I am, I have to accomplish my tafkid, I have to do what I have to accomplish. I can't chill. I gotta become somebody. I was put in this world for a purpose. Not to just drink beer. I didn't come into this world to get a beer belly. I didn't come into this world to drink. Become an alcoholic. And on my tombstone is a big bottle of beer. This man lived to drink. Coors. A big bottle engraved into his tombstone. With a light on top. Near in the Shabba. On the top of the Coors bottle.
Coors Light.
Coors Light. Beautiful. The new shtickle. Coors Light. Beautiful. With the light on top. He has a tomb dome down the side. Cared, big C, cared for people. H, had a good time in life. I, is a good person. L, loves tennis! L, loved beer. Chill! You can add the ED also if you want. No responsibility. I don't want to take any responsibility for my actions. I want to totally be free. That was Esau. Yaakov realized that this world, we have a purpose. We're given a name. What's the name? What's in a name? Why do people have names? Say you. Hey, how you doing? What do you need a name for? What does everybody have an individual name for? What's your name? You know, it's born in Svarim that we come up to the next world. They're going to ask us, put down Svarim, they're going to come up, and they ask you, what's your name? So it's brought down Shvona Esrei, the psukim that start with your name, because they say that psukim is going to help you remember your name. Very strange, right? It's, what do you mean they're going to ask you your name? Imagine, picking the scene, the guy gets up there, 120 years, and he say, sir, what's your name? He said, one second. Was it Bob? Maybe Stanley? People are going to say, Meister, people are going to forget their name. These guys sitting there, 20 people outside the Beis Din Hagadol. When you remember your name, come back. I said, come on, what's my name? Bob? No. Harry? No. George? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear. John! I got it! He runs into the base. Did I go no? Crazy! What does it mean? They ask you your name. I didn't forget his name. I didn't know his name. He said 50,000 times he called him his name. That's What's the pshat? For Hashem to say that he asked your name, a name that was given by Ruach HaKodesh, the name represents your essence. Adam HaRishon says the Ramban called all the animals by and gave it a name. What's the pshat of that? Oh, this looks like a hippopotamus! Or hippo! This looks like a lion! Lion! What do you mean he gave him names? Says the Adam Rishon was able to see Misoifa Olam Matsoifa Olam. He was able to touch up what the essence of each one, the Mahus, says the Ramban. And he gave it a name because that's its essence! That's its essence! The name is the essence of a person! Yaakov Avinu realized he had an essence, his name had a purpose, he lived for purpose. The world has purpose, I have purpose, I have a name. The name means I have a tafkid. I've given it a name, that name's my essence, that's my tafkid. That's what we're going to ask you. Your name was Yisachar, Yisachar Tzvi. There was a purpose in Yisachar Tzvi to accomplish the mission of Yisachar Tzvi, Belchbaum. Did you do it? Belched. What's your name? Your name is your essence. That's who you are. That's your tafkid. You're here for purpose. Yaakov, you don't understand that. Esav did not understand this. Wow. He thought that this world is heaven. I can do what I want in this world. And that's the part of, that's the Yisoid, his family came out that way, bro. Didn't come out for nothing. Have gavis, no responsibility, no purpose. Everybody has a different, for a different, moms are here, moms are there. Looking for a moms are here, looking for a moms are there. They're all moms are him. Moms are been moms are. The grandfathers also. They call her for Aliyah. Yavo, mamzeh, mamzeh, mamzeh. The kid comes up and says, my great grandfather goes, no, don't end it there. Efgeris, no responsibility. Chiller! Yaakov Avinu is the opposite. Purpose! And therefore, Abisai. It's so unbelievable. Yaakov Avinu Abosai is going back that night. For what? For what's he going back for? He's going back for small little dishes. Small little dishes, Abosai. Butter dishes. Flasks. What's the meaning of it? That's where the fight happens. The answer is so deep. Yaakov Avinu is going back because he understood everything has purpose and I have responsibility. If a God gave me these things, I'm responsible to the last drop. If this vessel that God put in my possession, this is about tachlis because God gave it me to use. They should have a purpose and fulfill their tachlis. Yaakov Avinu goes back. Bisakori risks his life, he goes alone by Yivosa Yaakov Levadoi. Because he feels responsible to the umpth degree that everything has purpose. And everything that I is in my possession, I'm responsible for. I'm going to bring it and get it and give it its life, its purpose. Bring it to its purpose. And this is Esav's struggle. Esav comes to battle him. Esav's side comes to battle him at this point. Because that's whole Esav's job. Esav in this world, hefkeres, is not responsibility. Live a life of freedom. And that's why Lama Zetish Alishmi. What are you asking? My name. So beautiful. No name. No name. I don't have a name because it represents no responsibility, no purpose. That's Esav's job, no name. Lomazet Tishal Hashmi, why are you asking my name? No name. Call me no name. That's Esav's jaw. That's Esav's Mahal Chachayim. Yaakov, purpose. The world has purpose. I have purpose. Everything that's under my jurisdiction has purpose. And I'm responsible for that. I'm responsible to bring it to fruition, to bring it to its proper cause and effect. And if not, then it's a terrible, terrible thing. It's so terrible, Yaakov risks his life. And this is why Yaakov is somebody that doesn't waste any seed. Because every seed has purpose. It could be children coming out. Purpose. Purpose. Responsibility. Yaakov Avinu has not wasted a drop of his seed in his ever in his lifetime. Because I'm responsible that everything in my life has purpose. There's nothing wasted. And we grow up in a generation of wasting. We're Edoim. Where the Goyish world has taught us the throw out generation, the waste generation. Go look at the waste of food. Go look at the waste of everything in the world. Go look at the waste of seeds that's permanent throughout the world. The Goyish world has no concept of this. Abortion. The Goyim have no concept of it. They'll kill anything, any fetus. Not interested in raising it? Kill it. Chill it. We don't want. Throw it out. Get rid of it. Junk it. So opposite. It's the soy. It's the real where it comes from. And we're not, in a certain way, we were all brought up in such a society that taught us that you can waste whatever you want. Throw it out. Get rid of it. Day old bread? Garbage. When was this bread bought? This morning. Not fresh enough. Garbage. Food that's left over. Garbage it. Because we can waste everything. That's all if you believe the world that this tuna fish doesn't have a purpose for this. Garbage it. If you believe that this food, this apple, this orange, half eaten, has no purpose. But we don't believe that. We believe every single being, every blade of grass, every orange, every banana, every kiwi, every pit in every kiwi. Every watermelon seed has purpose. It was put in the world for purpose. God wanted it to be there for a purpose. It has a name also. Garinim Shchorim. It also has a name. What are you calling their name for? Just give me some of that stuff. Give me some of that red stuff. I'm not calling it by its name, Yosef says. What it really is. Because I don't want to know what the essence is. I don't care in life. Nothing has purpose. Everything's free. Everything's hefker. Esav calls the lentils. Give me some of that red stuff. What red stuff? It's not red stuff. It's lentils. It has a name. It has purpose. Yaakov Avinu sees that Esav does not realize that that's the tafkid of the world. Sell me the Bechor, you have no purpose in doing the Bechor. Bechor is all about purpose. Avoid this place, Hamikdash. God's will. Every korban has a name. Everything has purpose. Everything has a responsibility to come to its fruition. And this is the fight. The Goyish world was called Edoim against the Yiddish. The Chanukah miracle, the these flasks of oil that Yaakov Avinu saved. It was, what a lesson of purpose. Who would have thought from that flask came about the miracle of Hanukkah that we're celebrating today, everybody's saying. If Yaakov Avinu would have gone back, he would have gone the way of Esav. I would have said, so a few flasks are forgotten. What's the problem? We'll buy new ones. Let's just go chill now. Forget about the flasks. It would have never been a nice time. Those flasks, says the Mefarsh Farm Akdoshim, was the flask the Kohen Gadol found. And for that came the nice time. Because he didn't understand that this world is a world of purpose. We have responsibility. And when we slacken our responsibility, by the Nes of Hanukkah, we were slacking on our avodah, we were slacking our responsibility, Goyim came in. They started to break the Beis HaMikdash and destroyed its purpose to bring Shechinah. And the Kohanim Chashmonoim got up and said, we have to take responsibility to the Mesiras Nefesh to save the world and bring back purpose. And they wiped them out, the Mesiras Nefesh, because they said, we're going to be responsible. We're going to take it into our own hands to be responsible at the chain that Yaakov Avinu and Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov started. Is going to continue, the legacy is going to continue. I have that responsibility. Oy, we're in such a door, such a generation now. No one wants responsibility. No one wants it! They want to chill. Everybody wants to chill. No responsibility. That's terrible. Because that's not what you're doing over here. That's not what you came down before. You have a responsibility to yourselves first. And to the legacy. And to the chain for your grandparents started. And they passed you down the torch. You have a responsibility to take that torch and pass it on. But if you can't take responsibility for yourselves, I'm not talking to you in general, Baruch Hashem. You have Gavaldik Bachram out there. But people out there, Yidden can't take responsibility for themselves. How are they going to take responsibility for their families? Rebbe? Hello. I'm thinking about getting married. What do you say? We haven't been in Shachris in 3 years. Your tefillin's still outside getting moths. It has gangrene, your tefillin. It's growing things on it. You think I can get married? Why not? Your wife will enjoy respect a man who gets up at 11:30 every day. Of course you'll respect him. Gets up, puts on his shorts, comes to the Shabbos table, burps, sits down, eats and burps again, and goes back to bed. What respect. What responsibility. There was a burp before and a burp afterwards. Listen, you know, you have to make before and after the meal. You have to do something. Usually it's a bracha, but he does it, he has a different language. It wasn't a regular burp, it was a long type of burp. His wife was really, she liked the smell of the burp also. It had a beer taste to it, because Friday night he was up eating cholent till 4 in the morning. He's responsible! He's responsible to make his wife feel good for the cholent! Responsible beer belly! He wants to raise his family. Can't get off the chakras in his house. How are you going to get married and take on the responsibility of a family? Oh, Rebbe, I tried to get up this morning. It was a struggle. My left arm, my right arm didn't let me. I tried it.
The fight was lost from the left arm to the right arm.
And you tried to get up. You're not responsible. Well, you don't care. Let's put it that much. You don't even think about responsibility. You have a responsibility to yourself. You got to accomplish. You're here in Israel. What are you doing to accomplish?
What are you doing with your responsibility to become who you're supposed to be? How are you going to take on more responsibility of a family? How are you going to hold down a job? How are you going to pass on the torch of Yiddishkeit that your grandfather was Moshe Nefesh? Who knows where in the Holocaust to observe the mitzvahs? And you can't get out of bed at 11:30 in the morning to go to shul on Shabbos. Daddy, I want to go to shul. I'll be up. Don't worry. Yeah, but it's almost time for mincha. I'm getting up. Daddy! Evening! I'll be up, son! But Daddy, can we learn? Yeah, give me the Gemara. But Daddy, don't hold the Gemara that way! Did they teach you in Yeshiva? It's backwards! What did you do in Yeshiva, Daddy? Do you know how to read the Artsful English even?
Said. Oh, I had a point to the problem with that word.
Daddy, why are you reading the Art School English all day? You were in Yeshiva 16 years!
Yeah, I was only in the base medrash one day. Responsibility.
Our lives is not possible. You have time in this world. You got to do something with it. That's responsibility. I couldn't get up. What does that mean? That you can't take responsibility for yourself. No one's stopping you. You couldn't get up in the morning. Oh, Rebbe, I came one day to Shachar this week. Oh, for a trip. He said, Asher Yotza, we're going on a trip to Switzerland. Free squeeches because you got up and came to Alelu Shabbat and walked out by the Shir Shal Yom. You got a free ski trip. So hard. Responsibility! My life! I want to be somebody! I want to have a good family! I want to pass the torch on! And when I come up to Shemayim, I want to be able to answer, what's my name? What's your name? Can't remember. I didn't do my tafkid. I chilled. Call me chill. Spent a year in Eretz Yisrael, and I chilled it out. I drank 1,000 bottles of beer on the wall, 1,000 bottles of beer, with one of those bottles. I have them all lined up in my room. For posterity. We'll save the pictures in my yearbook. And I have 64 bottles of Iraq. I finished 44 bottles of Yaakov Daniels. A great successful year! What did you do? What did you accomplish? What did you do for your responsibility of you for yourself? How are you gonna know what the halacha is when your wife asks you at the Shabbos table? Are you sorry? I don't want to speak up and you're making kiddush for Rosh Hashanah! Sorry, turned the wrong page, I didn't notice. It's already drinking the wine. Yo, Masi Corona, it's Tu B'Shvat. Sorry, got a little mixed up. Daddy, you're saying the wrong bracha. You don't make a Bari Pri Adoma on steak. Sorry, did lots. Didn't learn that yeshiva.
I never learned. You didn't learn about how what bracha you make on eggs. I mean, you were roasting and frying eggs for years, and after you spent 45 minutes making your stand with the shiny thing in the soul. Bracha to Hashem, borei pri ha'etz. Daddy, you make an eitz on the egg? Which yeshiva did you learn in? Please don't say my name. Say Medrash. You make an eitz on an egg? Egg, eitz. They have a saying like egg and eitz have a saying. They go together. You don't know how to, what that, you don't know that, Daddy? They told me that in first grade. I was chilling. I was egg chilling. I don't think anything about eggs. Well, I only know how to chill with eggs. Put a little beer in the egg. Big, tasty egg. A little Jack Daniel in the egg. Very, very tasty egg. But the person that you could have become, and you would have become, was that. It's all in my hands. No one can stop me. It's my responsibility. No one can answer for this except ourselves. We didn't fulfill our task with no one. It's not this Terrence and that Terrence and this and that Rebbe and that blah, 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 blah. It's all hogwash. It's all, I don't want to accept the responsibility. I want to do whatever I want and not buckle down and conform. And this is the fight for Yaakov and Esau. Yaakov goes back and holds his responsible for everything down to the last drop. It was pachim tani. But from there comes the Ishanaka. Esav ends off the parasha, Mamza ben Mamza. No responsibility. His whole family looks like no responsibilities. You have to take the bull by the horns of Lisa. It's hard. It's not easy. No one says it's easy because we live in a generation that pulls us, that pushes us in all directions to do whatever we want and not to take responsibility and to cop out. And people, you see them with jobs today. This guy, he can't get a job, he can't hold down a job. What's the pshat? Because yeshiva also didn't hold down, he didn't take responsibility. To go from one job to the next. Here, Rebbe, how's it going? Good, what's going on? Oh, how's it going? Yeah, uncle, how's the electric? Electric, I'm not doing electric. Really. What are you doing? I started doing plumbing. I'm in the sewer right now, Rebbe, I can't really talk. Okay, Yanko, call me back next week. How's it going down there in the sewer? Rebbe, I'm out of the sewer! I'm teaching in the Talmud Torah in Satma, English. I never passed English, but I know more than these kids anyway. You know, bat. B-A-T. I can spell it. Oh, very good, God. At least all that. Who is that? Yanko, where are you? I never made it to work! Yanko, my voice starts at 4:30. Talmud Torah, the English starts at 4:30. No, Rebbe. My schedule of yeshiva doesn't allow me to get up before 6. I'm trying to look for a night watchman job. I practice that all the time in yeshiva. I have a letter from my Rebbe. You don't want to sleep before 5 in the morning. Just make sure that you have a little Jack Daniels out for him for the job. It keeps him up. Yeah, you see him, I come to visit him. I'm walking down the road, 4 in the morning. Flashlight shines on me. Yaakov, is that you? Yeah, Rebbe, I just got a promotion. I'm the best night watchman there is. Flashes the other flashlight into my eyeballs. What a family life. You go to sleep at 6 in the morning, wake up at 11 at night, start your job. Yaakov, Baruch Hashem. That's responsibility. Please move the flashlight out of my eyes, please. The police side. You have to take the ball, the horn, the cow, the hand by its horns. We got to take the bull by the horn. We got to get our lives together and take responsibility. The police side. The hallmark of maturity is responsibility. That's being mature. Telling this, I have had enough of the nonsense. Enough of the word shh, dirty word. I have enough of that word. I want to relax. I want to take it easy. I don't want to shh, because I want to always know that I have responsibility. Every hour of the day, I'm responsible for myself. That's God. I wake up in the morning, and I go to sleep at night with Kriyashma Lamita. I wake up in the morning, responsibility. And God loves us, and He wants everything the best for us. So obviously, He thought this is the best thing. The man has responsibility all the time, because he doesn't get into trouble, he doesn't do stupid things. He lives a life of happiness and purpose and success for us. And he looks down at the torch that he passed over. Baruch Hashem, I live my life in a way that my grandparents and my great-grandparents are proud. And Beis Hashem, the future generations will carry that torch proudly. We should be Zoichov Beis Hashem to be those great people who take responsibility for our lives and widen that circle of responsibility to people around us and create a great Kiddush Hashem to show the world this world has purpose. And to bring the world to its ultimate purpose. Amen.